start off tonight by saying 166.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. A shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor, and girded with praise. The bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercy, how tender, hath come to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
We'll have an open prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come back again on this day of worship, to continue our worship on this Lord's Day. Father, we just thank you, God, blessings we enjoy every day as your children through Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for letting Brother Robert come and speak with us today. We pray that you will be with him as he brings us this message. We pray that you will open our minds and help us to learn from this, things that will help us in our lives. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, that you will bless them and heal them according to your will. Father, we just pray that you would be with the ones that's traveling, that you would keep them safe. Be with the ones that's lost loved ones and comfort them, Father. We just pray that you will be with us as we go through the rest of this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next song, 252. 252.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, come down from thy throne in the skies, and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever. Me and I shall be whiter than snow, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now watch me and whiter than snow.
number 138. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, and His blood support me in the welling flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, in His righteousness alone, for blessed standing before the throne. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
270, that'll be our next song. Brother Robert.
Thank you for being here tonight. It's a blessing to be with you and to have the opportunity of being here this afternoon and to discuss a lot of things and pray about a lot of things along the way, and to be a part of this gospel meeting series during this week through Wednesday night, each night. Our theme of study is the idea of behaving oneself in the house of God, which is what Paul said in regard to how to live to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 at verse 15. He said, "If I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." He tells them the instructions that he wants him to hear. How he's to be a person that is of character and a person who is compassionate to others, a person who serves the cause of the Lord in every way that he can with the community in which he lives. And he goes to detail in this matter with six ideas in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12. He says, "Be thou an example of the believer." And he mentions these six things. He wants him to be an example of the believer. That word example is a special word for us. It's a word tupas, and it's the idea of an image that is struck within a piece of metal that is placed molten into that particular harness and that particular way of that work. And he wants the idea to be that when we extract that, it cools and extracts, that the image that is in that particular tupas is an image that appears on that particular kind of a metal. The idea of a coin is significant in the days of that Roman Empire. And the coin might be with Caesar's face upon it, might be with a number of a numeral in regard to the value of that. But it would be a tupas. It would be a form that would be implanted. When he says, "Be thou an example," be a tupas to the believer in first off word. He means that when other people come into contact with you and the words that you say are the kind of words that they could say themselves, it's a kind of imprint upon their lives as they choose to talk with others, that they can use the same that you use with them. You're to talk with those individuals in such a way that it is an example of Christ Jesus himself. As a result of that, they can behave themselves in such language ways as to talk about that. Back in the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, it tells us about a gentle word turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There's a difference in the way that we talk in a gentle way to others. A soft answer to others, the text does tell us there in the King James. But the idea of being a soft answer turns away wrath. There's no fighting and no hatred that is created by a person being kind in his response to others. The words that he uses that individual could use and not create anger in the hearts of other people round about him. Be an example to the believer in the words that you choose. The words that a father chooses is talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. It is said, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There are too many people in the world in which we live that have been reared since World War II, that came forth from that crisis in that time with the idea that the way the Army or the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Coast Guard or the way the Air Force directed them into battle is the way that they ought to direct their household. As a result of that, they commanded things to be done. They demanded things to be done. And they insisted that you listen and that you hear me and you do what I ask you to do. For that purpose, many people have found themselves turning away from the body of Christ because they were talked to in that kind of way, in that kind of tone, in that kind of rejection. And as a result of that, instead of being able to be talked to in a smooth way, a kind way, and a thoughtful way, and a prayerful way, you might add, they found themselves being commanded and demanded. And as a result of that, when they got big enough to either verbally fight it or big enough to physically fight it, they resisted that way of leadership anywhere they went. They resisted that way at mom and dad's house. They resisted that way to a job and a job corps work that they were doing. They resisted that way in the church as well. Elderships that demanded and commanded things to be done were rejected and resisted, and they are at the current hour that same way. What kind of words are we to use? Words that are soft words that turn away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. And we do not need to use those kind of words. Paul says there to Timothy, be an example of the believer. He had already said to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 3 and 15, if I tarry long, I may not always be with you. I may not be there in a timely way. But here is, he says, be an example. This is what the Lord expects of your life. And he wants you to be an example of the believer, a tupas to the believer, having others come in contact with you and have the imprint of the words that you say be the words that they say, and as a result, have more peace in the world in which they live. So it is a way that we are to talk. And then secondly, he says, be an example of the believer, be a tupas of the believer in your conversation. Now, conversation is different than the words that we speak there in that text of Scripture. It means the full manner of life that that person is pursuing. If that person is pursuing a wholesome way of life, telling honest things to others, making promises that are fulfilled, well, there are some people that I lived in Batesville that they would still be waiting if they were waiting for a repairman to come and fix their refrigerator or their stove, because they were waiting 5 or 6 years later on for that particular person that said on the phone, I'll be right over, I'll take care of that, I'll be right over. They were never right over. They're not right over 7 years later, and I'm presuming they're not right over even now, years later left. Because their manner of life, their conversation of life, betrayed them. They were not that practitioner in life. You and I want to reach the lost. We want to save souls from sin. We want to help people realize what the Lord's Word really says about any and every subject that is brought up. But we have no contact with them. We have no result of contact with them. We have no words spoken with them. We have no time spent with them. We have no fun time spent with them. We have no time at all for them. how are we going to have a conversation, a manner of life, to be appreciated by them, respected by them, and practiced by them? How are we going to do that? They don't have a thing to do with us. We don't have a thing to do with them. And we began it because we were first in saying, I won't trust that individual. I won't have anything to do with that person. And thus, they have no time for us when we knock at the door and invite them to a gospel meeting, to a vacation Bible school, to a youth day that goes on, to an event of growth in the church. None at all. Time is given. The conversation of life, the manner of life, is turned against. Let me ask you something in this regard. Suppose someone next door came to your house and recognized that you had a tractor over that way and everything and said, may I borrow your tractor, or may I ask you to serve me and getting on your tractor and helping me to do something? I'd like to have a garden this year. And I'd like to have a garden in a certain spot behind the house this year. And that's the quickest way and the best way and financially the most profitable way for me to be served and helped. And would you help me do that? Well, your answer would probably be in like kind of how your conversation of life is. If the experience that you've had with individuals is to make a friend and make a good blessing for that friend and have that kind of reward that comes from having a friendship like that, then in all likelihood, you will be a person that says, well, sure, I'll do that. And I'll tell you what, first time I get a chance to do that, it'll be on Thursday of this next week. Would that be a good time for you? And they would say, yes, it would be, or no, Thursday, not a good time for me. What about Friday evening would be a better time for me? And you will agree with that. And that manner of life is an agreeable manner. That conversation of life is something that will help you and help them too and be a good thing. But let me ask you this. What about the idea about, I haven't seen you before. I don't know a thing about you, and I don't know what you do to this tractor. I'm not about to loan it to a stranger at all. Well, what kind of response would that be? Maybe truthful. Maybe accurate. You don't know that person. This is the first time you met that individual at the door making that request. But could it be that that person who asked you also, could you drive the tractor and could you do this for me, would be met with kind words and a kind response? The manner of life that you live, Paul said, be an example to the believer. Be a tupos. When they come into contact with your manner of life, if they practice that same manner of life, it will bring them the similar result. Goodwill will be spread if they come into contact with your life and your conversation is goodwill. It will be a good thing for the community in which you live. Then he said, number three, be an example of the believer in charity. That word charity is a word for love. Godlike love, agape, is a word for. And it's a concept of being people who lovingly work with others. When we find ourselves at a place where we're constantly critical of the boss and critical of the workload and constantly critical of the time that we're devoted to a certain situation in time, whether it's preaching the gospel or whether it's making glass, marble, or stain, or whatever we're doing in a job-related situation, we can well be known by the idea that we have a love for what we're doing and appreciation for the job that we have and for the income that provided thereby. And we love the idea of this job and we love what we're doing. Don't tell anybody, but I would preach the gospel for nothing. Don't tell the congregations where I've served at all, because they needed to be responsive to me and helpful to me. It'll make a living. But I would preach the gospel regardless of any kind of income that was ever provided. Why? The Lord said through Paul in this regard, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Look at it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Salvation can come about because of the preaching of the gospel, the truth of the word of the Lord. And that way of lovingly doing that is a good and godly thing to be done. When we preach things on the basis of, I have found a problem here, and I found a weakness here, and I want to rip the hide off of whoever's practicing this way of life here. That's what I want to do. We likely may rip the hide of that person. We may rip the hide of those who have visited with that person that particular time. And it may be their last opportunity, the very last opportunity that we ever have to show that we love anybody in teaching the gospel, because what we said and how we said it was not the loving tone at all. We're talking about the way of life that Paul says, Timothy, this is the way of life that you live. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in reference to this particular matter and all the work to do, and in 2 Timothy 1, in particular, where Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the genuine, sincere faith, the unfeigned faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded also in thee. He names what he wants Timothy to do with his life and his service in proclaiming the gospel. When Timothy went to Ephesus and went to other places that Paul directed his work, would he have been an individual that showed the love that he had for this direction and this guidance, for the words that he said to others, or by the mannerisms of life that he lived, or by the general love that he had for God's way of saving the lost, that he would have preached the gospel when in fact it's thought to be something that is not good at all? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. It's foolish to preach the gospel. Why preach that truth to people? Why can't they just read it and see it themselves? Why can't they understand it themselves? But he said the proclamation of it is to be that way, of a way of love for that individual and care for that individual. And when people come into contact with your life and your preaching, and they go forth to teach others, to tell them others about what your message was, would it be with the evidence of love in their hearts and lives, because a little bit of your love for them was a way that transferred unto their lives and made a difference with the way that they talked to others? I'm working with the congregation right now in that regard, and all the good things that are being done in that congregation, and people returning that have been out of duty for a long, long period of time. People returning that have wondered about what we taught there at the Crockett Church of Christ, and they have suddenly reappeared, surprised some of the brethren there to be there. And yet they're there and bring the whole family in to sit on the back pews with them and everything and talk with us about the gospel way. It came about from hearts of love that were shown to them, words of love that invited them, and a way of love that they were wanting to see it in motion. And when we do that, we'll be an example that will be of help to others. And they'll see more than just foolishness in the proclamation of the gospel. He said, number four, be an example of the believer in your spirit, in the way that you walk about in life. We know the difference between someone who walks about just shuffling their feet, dragging their heels, just barely getting by, and we wonder about that individual in line. And we talk about them in this regard. We talk about people having that slow walk and that slow way of doing things and that slow way of no real strength and no real way. The word spirit carries with it the idea of a way of life that is lived. You're living this way of life with a great joy in your heart. A spirit, a way of life and living is in your heart. You're looking forward to one day, that day in time when that accident takes place that takes you from this earthly life to the next will be a rewarding day and a rewarding time. Sure, there'll be those tears that are left behind. Sure, there'll be sorrow that will be there. Sure, there'll be a funeral service that will bring about tears from those who attend. And a memory of you will be a memory of someone who had a spirit for life that just couldn't be beat. It was a wonderful way of life to live. Enthusiastic way of life that was lived. And that's the way that God would have us to live. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. You be an example of this spirit of life. A spiritual way of life is a way to go, a way to do. Our spiritual walk of life can be renewed day by day as we serve the cause of the Lord. But if that spirit that dwells in you was that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He makes it that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in his work, but that you'll be a profitable person who grows in the ways of the Lord. What about the spirit of life that others see you and me manifest? Do they see a joyful way? Other than the way that we would speed down the road, exceeding the speed limit and trying to get to a place where the person does not get there before we do. I'm not talking about that kind of spirit at which we live, but a spiritual way of life that is profitable for good and for godliness' sake. That's the way that we ought to live. And when others come into contact with our spirit of life, it's a zeal to it that they would have a little better zip in their step, a little more joy within their spirit. As they meet and greet others, they'll find themselves implementing that in their practice too, because that's the way that you did in front of them, Timothy. And that's the way that I want you to do. You be a tupas to them. You be an example to them in such a way that they'll practice that way, in that way of spirit. And then he says, number five, in faith. In the way that you live that faith. Instead of going into a business meeting and saying, well, I don't believe that's going to do any good, and I'm against sending any money to that particular cause and that particular idea. I just can't believe that that's going to accomplish any good thing at all. Why not give in faith? Give believing that good would be done. Give believing that God would bless it. And it is in a process of life. Why we find that way of life that is a way of faith, it's that one faith that we're talking about. A way of faith that we talk about in Jude's words of Jude 1 and verse 3. When I gave all diligence to write of you the common salvation. It is indeed a common salvation that ought to be taught even today. And so it is that we have that way of life. When we find people come into contact with us, and we find that in their contact with us and our way of life, they see a little bit of the faith, if not a lot of the faith, that we live by and practice this religious way of life. They see a joy and a hope within us, a faith that God Himself has blessed, and a faith by which they also can live and be better individuals thereby. That's what He says that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God in practicing. He ought to behave ourselves. We ought to be people who practice that way of life, knowing that good is coming from that, positive things are coming from that, worthwhile things are coming from that, if we practice that way of life that's filled with faith. If we'll be people that ask God's blessings in prayer to the donations that are made to someone in need and a timely situation like that, it'll be a blessing that will be returned in our lives. Think about it. Think about the way that others are influenced by us and do good with them. Then he says, number six, be an example of the believer in purity. You're going to have a job, and one of those first jobs as a young person in life you teach young people to do is to prepare yourself to be a babysitter. There are people out here that make a job and they work at that job and they're going to be late getting home, and their child comes home from school and needs someone to just occupy a little of their time there in the afternoons. And so you take a course on that particular study. You get certified as a babysitter. You know when to call 911. You know what to say to a person on the telephone about a problem that's there at the household. You're over there babysitting. You're trying to save life and help life. You're not trying to just let things be bygones there at all. You're trying to really do a good job. In your purity of life, would you turn on the television set and turn it to the X-rated channel for them to see the things that mankind often does one to another? Would you want to be the person that says, I want to turn it over to this movie, and although there are vulgar words that are used, profanities that are offered, I'm just going to turn it over that way, and I'm going to let these little children see it at the same time that I do. I like that movie and I want to be seen and heard. Are there not movies in the ways by which we see that that's not pure language? That's not pure conduct. That's not pure ways of seeing that person walk up the steps with a short dress on. That's not a pure way of seeing men with men and women with women. And so we find ourselves being pure in life, and we find ourselves having jobs that are thereby related, where families will trust us and care for us and tell others, you'll have more places that you'll have to go after school and do work with them than you can shake a stick at, because they will tell others about your good job. They took a course on this matter. They studied this matter, and they were safe with our child, and it was a helpful thing in the afternoon. And when we couldn't get home from time, we called on this individual who was right over there and right timely for them. And they did the kind of things that were godly. They did the kind of things that were righteous. They did the kind of things that were holy. They did the kind of things that were peaceful with our child. And there'll be others to call you. And others say, come and do this for me, and I'd like to put you down. And what's your telephone number that I can talk to you further about this matter? And you will help them, and they will help you in this regard. That's the way of life that he says. When people come into contact with you, Timothy, and they think about how pure you are in your words, how pure you are in your mannerisms, how pure you are in your dress and your behavior and the things you talk about, they have that purity to be transferred over as an image to them. They want to be that way too. They want to have that job and career also. They want to be successful that way too. What a blessing it is to have that to be passed along from one generation to another, because good has been done. Be pure in your thoughts and your mannerisms of life. Why do I say thoughts? Because the way that we think in our heart becomes the way that we are. And when we think about things that are not pure and not holy and wholesome, we practice the same sort of things in life. There should be people who care. Care enough to be pure in our conversations, in our manner of life, in our day-to-day events. Now, Paul says, Timothy, hey, this is what I want you to do, to behave in the house of God. And he says there in chapter 4, verse 12, here's six things I want you to know, because those six things are frequently found in the world in which we live in this Roman Empire. They're frequently there in this world in which we live. And in that way in which they're found, I want you to be an example of the believer in the words that you choose to say, in the manner of life, your conversation that you practice. I want you to be an example of the believer in the charity that you have in your heart for the work of the Lord being done in your life. I want you to be an example of the believer in the spirit way of life that you lead, having the Holy Spirit within your walk of life as well, but having that spirit of zeal and go to it type of attitude rather than one that is not good at all. I want you to have this way of life with the way that you have the work that you have in life. And I want you to be a person who has that faith that is so seen that others will say, I want to imitate that same walk of faith. I want to live that same way. I want to believe that same teaching, and I want to practice that same teaching in my life, for it's found in God's holy word. And I want to be a person who's pure in my way of life. Pure in the movies that I see. Pure in the language that I use. Pure in the dress that I have. Pure in the behavior of my jokes and my words, my mannerisms. That's the way that he said, I want you to behave in the house of God. Let me ask of you tonight in this regard, as we prepare to sing this song of invitation this evening, are you subject to Jesus' invitation? It's not us, not our ways of life that we're considering. It's the way that the Lord himself wants us to do and to behave in the house of God. And as we find ourselves in the body of Christ, will it not be the case that others are greatly influenced by our doing what he said to do? I take you back to Gehazi in the Old Testament of the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 5. The most prominent character in 2 Kings chapter 5 is Naaman, who is saluted in the first verse as a fine man, a leader, a commander of the armies. But the last thing of that word in that particular verse of 2 Kings 5:1, he was a leper. He had skin that was growing whiter and whiter day by day. He had a way of which he was living and behaving himself that was appropriate to that. Later on, after the days of the particular Greeks, they would have this to be a kind of disease that would be flesh-eating and would take away the flesh and the ability of that person to live. Infections would be created over and over again, and death would soon ensue. But at this point in time, very likely it wasn't that way. It was a way in which others recognized something so severely different. He offered money to the prophet of God, Elisha, when he saw he was cleansed after he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan River as the prophet of God told him to do. He went and dipped like the prophet said, and his flesh was like a newborn child. He was free from this problem of leprosy. And offering money, he said, "Oh no, no, I did not do this to take money from you. I did not do this for that purpose at all." And went along his way. It was the case that Naaman went along his way as well. But the servant to Elisha, Gehazi, he saw the extra shekels of silver that were offered. If this man would only take them. He saw the extra linens of garments that were offered. Dress of clothing and all, if he would but take them. And so he seeks a way by which he will come into contact with Naaman before he arrives home and tells him that there's been a change of thought about this matter. What was his conversation of life? What was his manner of life? He was set upon telling falsehoods, was he? It wasn't true. But along the way, he found a man who was willing so much and so thankful for what he had. A little bit of money that he gave and a little bit of these fine linens that he would give to somebody along the way he brought there anyway would be a good thing to do, because he would look for all the good he could do to somebody. Because look, I'm free. I'm free from this disease. And so the prophet Elisha knows about this. And when you get down in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 36, 37, 38, you read in regard to his conversation with Gehazi. And he says this about his mannerism. He says, "Inasmuch as your heart was not right as you pursued this man and the blessings that he could financially give you, I want you to know that the disease that he suffered from, when you go home, it will go with you and your household forever." When we choose a way of life by which to impress others, it affects just more than you and that individual. It affects more than my association with that individual. And it may very well be that it does, to the extent that here it happened in that day. It says as it closes that chapter in 2 Kings 5, that his flesh became white like snow. You don't want that to happen to any of your loved ones. You don't want that to happen to any of your friends. You don't want to happen to any of your neighbors. You don't want to happen to any of your fellow workers. Be an example of the believers as you choose to do things in life by words you say,
manner of life you live, the charity of life that you bestow, the way of life that your spirit zeal wants to enthusiastically do, the way of life that you want to have as you follow that way in which you help with others, and the way of life that you go between your purest thoughts and mannerisms. You will hide your face sometimes. You'll put your fingers in your ears sometimes. Though the line of that particular movie and story may be an okay thing, and you like that idea, the words that are used, you don't want anybody to practice that, do you? Let's stand together and sing this song of invitation to serve our Lord tonight.
What are you waiting, brother? Oh, what are you tearing so long? Yes, there is waiting to give you a place in sanctuary.
Suffered, did not get an opportunity this morning, and okay.
Appreciate having you here tonight. Robert's had three good lessons today, and I look forward to tomorrow night. If you can come back, bring someone with you, and through Wednesday night, so if you can come back with us. Nothing else, Brother Wood. My Father, thank you for the lesson you heard tonight.